Our month-long hiatus is over, and I have a good guest. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Lives. Breaking into.
Do you recognize this theme?
What's going on?
I had to play this. If you guys watched that show, it was just all of a sudden it would come on, it would be like a blurry word. Then it came closer, then it went away. Hi, you guys, it's Breaking Into, and I'm back. Great. And I'm black. Yeah. We're both. I'm here.
Hey.
And I'm glad to be here, you guys. And thanks for being so kind this whole month. You know, I was off touring my books that I have out there, selling my wares to the public across the country. And I had a fan event in Ohio. Thanks, hi to the Hardys in Ohio. They gave me a great time when I was there. But I am back. I love doing the show. And I'm here with a really good guest. That was the Lost theme. Some of you guys who used to watch ABC's controversial show, Lost, this person was on it. Then he was off it. Then he was on it again. And we have questions about that. But you may know him also from the dance duo, this pop dance, rap, R&B, hip-hop duo, MKTO.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's in a new movie with Academy Award winning. We can say this for a chick. I love it.
Woo!
Catherine Bigelow's new film, Detroit, which has everybody in it. Everybody is in it.
Yeah, man.
Malcolm David Kelly.
How you doing, James?
How are you?
I'm all right.
You have
now.
A great smile. Oh, you have it. You have it. That's right, kids.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me, man.
My pleasure. Follow us on YouTube and iTunes under Black Hollywood Lives and Breaking Into. I have 85 episodes on there, so if we get to 100, I'm so excited.
We're about to get to 100. Follow up, y'all.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to get there. And also, follow us on the Facebook page. It's called Breaking Into. First of all, so Lost, which is a show that inspires ire, inspires smiles. It's one of those shows that it was you were on a huge hit.
Yeah, it was pretty big. And I mean, doing a pilot and not even knowing if we're going to get picked up. And, you know, just being in Hawaii and working with everybody, really becoming a family, and then getting that call about the first season, and then just watching what it spiraled into, and, you know, just the longevity of the show has been amazing, man. It really grew. And I was the only kid on that show,
yes. So
working with all the adults, learning so much, and J.J. Abrams, and, you know, it was a great opportunity, man. I enjoyed it.
I mean, I was thinking about this, because we were talking about Detroit a little later.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've worked with some really great ensembles.
It's been crazy to see where, you know, fate, you know, puts me, and, you know, the certain auditions I get, and, you know, just things that come my way and things that happen to work out, man. It's been a blessing to me. You know, just like you said, The Lost was a great cast, and Detroit is a great cast, mm-hmm. with some young, up-and-coming great actors, and some vets in there with Anthony Mackie and,
yes.
you know.
John Boyega, of course,
John Boyega, of course.
Star Wars.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah, you know, well, but, you know, we've all worked, but, yeah. you know, we're all still young and still coming up, and just getting the opportunity to work with Catherine Bigelow. She was amazing. But
we'll get to that a little later,
yeah,
of course.
We'll get on it.
But I think it's really interesting that you've worked with two great ensembles with two great leaders. Like you said, J.J. Abrams, Catherine Bigelow. I mean, talk about being blessed, and I don't believe in luck. There's no such thing as luck. But you've been lucky.
I've been lucky, man. We've talked about that. I mean, even Denzel Washington and Antoine Fisher.
Oh, but yes, that too,
you
yes.
know, that was a movie, his first movie he'd ever directed and
yes.
he played in that, and watching that even opened my eyes and inspired me to this day. And, you know, I'm going to start directing eventually some
Good.
Stuff I'm working on in the pipeline. But, yeah, man, so just learning from everybody right. I get to work with has just been a blessing.
Did you know who Denzel was? Like, did you know who he was, or were you just young? Were you too young?
Did I know who he
like,
was?
Like,
I knew who he was.
Well, I mean, did you know the weight of, like, that's like sometimes I'm trying to get to the point, like, he's Denzel.
He was Denzel.
Academy Award winning Denzel. Like, he's an actor, but he's directing. But, like, you were young. Did you get that this guy, or did you get it later? Kind of like, I worked with Denzel Washington.
No, I mean, I knew the magnitude of Denzel
okay.
Washington.
Good word. That's the word.
Yeah, yeah. I knew it when it was happening, man. And just watching him as a director is really when I had another level of respect for him. Like, how serious he was about his craft and being in the audition rooms and, you know, actually working with me one-on-one. You know, he didn't have to do that. Some directors don't do that. But he was just so serious about the project. And, yeah, just getting to watch him and study him was amazing. So, shout out Denzel.
Yes. Well, yeah, please, Denzel. Come talk to me. We're gonna show a clip that someone put together.
Okay,
and it actually makes me kind of laugh, but it's just like a minute or so. Let's take a look up there.
Lost in 5 seconds.
That music again. That was a great intro. Like just like this, it totally set the tone of the show.
There's some wild stuff.
I gotta go find my kid. Hey, if Walt shows up, tell him I said stay right here until I get back.
You got it.
Walt! Walt! Walt!
He's always yelling for you.
Walt! Walt!
Walt and...
Walt!
Walt!
Walt! You gave my boy a knife.
Walt knows his own mind.
Walt!
Walt!
Walt.
I'm coming for Walt! I'm getting my son back!
Oh, it just put him on. That's what you hit by the car.
My son!
I catch you with my son again, I'll kill you.
Okay. What?
You're a jerk!
Walt!
Walt, where's Walt?
Walt's not here.
The smoke monster.
Hey, Walt!
When the others took you, that was a good thing.
Hey, Walt! Hey, Walt!
Dad!
Walt, come here!
Dad!
Everybody does those flash forwards and flashbacks and flash all kind of stuff. Look how young you are that one season.
Who are you?
I'm your father.
Okay, I love that. The person put it together.
I love that. That's dope. Okay, shout out to the person who put that together.
Well, first of all, you got to work with Hera Perrineau, who I loved on Oz. First of all,
yeah, best man.
I mean, he was your dad.
Yeah, yeah, he was great. You know, to work with him so much, just learn so much from Hera Perrineau. You know, he's a great person, man. He was just so awesome, and yeah, he was like my pops, man. He's like one of my pops.
So you went away, and he came back all grown up.
Got kidnapped.
Yeah, care about the others, but also you totally had that growth spurt. It was like so funny.
Well, yeah, I was playing a younger role, you know, a younger character, and you know that growth spurt happened, and you could tell, you know, it was a wrap. So it was funny though.
Like I said, your balls dropped. Obviously, you had your voice.
Had the braces on.
The braces are off. It was just like, who is this guy? It's my kind of Tim. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
You also got to work with Terry Quinn.
Terry O'Quinn. He was awesome, man. Showing him how to throw a knife. I mean, not.
So did you realize with that?
That was real life. You know, they had us practicing. And I was working with a professional, and I was sticking it a couple of times. I was actually getting pretty good, and it was fun. We had a couple of scary moments. I remember it bounced back one time, almost hit me. So it can be a little dangerous, but it was a good time. It was a good experience.
And Jorge Garcia,
played Hurley. You know, Matthew Fox, yes. Dominic Monaghan, yes. You know, Evangeline Lilly. I mean, we were all like a big, big family. Daniel Day Kim, you know, growing close with, you know, his kids and watching them grow up.
Yeah,
and, you know, just being on the island. You know, we're all just trapped away on the island. That's how we really became close.
So you got a chance because you were the only kid on the cast, but some people had their families there, obviously, because they were there shooting. You sat there for, like, 8 months out of the year or something like that?
Yeah, it was eight, 9 months out of the year, and I had my grandma with me at one point. You know, my mom and dad, you know, I had the family come down.
Oh, good.
I actually had a guardian down there with me because my mom and dad were still working while I was, you know, out there working too. So, yeah. But it was beautiful, though. It was a lovely experience.
Did you have to go to school on set too and everything?
Yeah, okay. I was homeschooled, but, you know, Hawaii is like my second home, and I can go back there. I got family there.
That's very cool. And you had the dog.
I had the dog with me. You know, I had a dog, man. I had a Dalmatian growing up, so I've always loved dogs. Yeah. And then having another dog on set I get to play with all day, that's a kid's dream, you know.
I have to ask you because I ask every lost member, like people I get to meet, I have to ask this. How did you feel about the ending? And because it's funny, because I thought it was kind of cool. Myself, I on the record, I've said, so they were all dead in the first place. It was kind of thing. They all come together in the church, and they all go together.
Right.
I thought it was kind of cute. I knew who hated it, of course. But I'm always curious, people who were on the show, like what the thoughts were.
I mean, you know, the show was crazy in itself, you know, hence the title.
Yes.
But, you know, so it was hard for me to try to keep up after I was gone. Yeah. You know, it was just a lot going on. But I thought the ending was good, and there was so much to cover anyway. Yeah. Like, how are you going to, you know, the show was throwing so much at you at one time, and to answer all of that, it was impossible. Yeah. So I agree. I like the ending. Okay. I'm not mad at it.
See, I'm not mad at it. See, like the ending.
Yeah.
I was saying off camera, we're both Tauruses.
Yeah, man.
You're May 12th and May 10th.
Taurus gang.
Like, but we're May Tauruses.
Yeah.
We're real Tauruses, too, because we're the middle of the sign.
Yep, yep.
That's right. And I would say, being a Taurus, I believe in astrology somewhat. I mean, I'm not heavily into it, but I believe in it somewhat. And some of the things they say about us is that we can multitask, which makes sense. We're going to talk about more of your career, different kinds of careers you have. But also that we are very steadfast, and we're very just, we go through. We're in it.
Yeah,
so you've been in this game now for, I mean, how long now, you say?
It's probably almost about 20 years.
Wow. So at this point in your life, are you in it?
I'm in it. But, you know, I definitely, at a pivotal age, you know, like being 18, 19, you know, I started working on the music, and, you know, that kind of spiraled off into, you know, meeting one of my good friends and going to Columbia Records, getting signed and stuff like that. So, you know, I kind of stepped away from acting a little bit, and but, you know, I had the blessing to be able to jump back into it and get projects like these. And, you know, I'm in it, though. I'm definitely in it.
You're in it. You're from Bellflower.
Yeah, Bellflower.
I know Bellflower. And yeah, I was telling you, because I have friends from Downey.
Okay, yeah, Downey, Long Beach. If people don't know, it's right next to
And I always forget. A friend of mine was like, because I was in Inglewood and everything, it was all South L.A., but you really are South Central, because over there, you're close to Compton.
Yeah, it's right by Compton. I was just over there for the 4th of July. My grandma's house, you know, she stays over there. My dad's from there. But, that's all home for me, Long Beach, Bellflower.
So what is your family like? Because we get to know you a little bit. When you come back, because you're probably just one of the kids, right? I mean, they don't treat you any differently.
No, I'm one of the kids, you know. But it's a beautiful thing to be able to know my little cousins, you know, look up to me and, are dreaming big. And, you know, I just want them to, I encourage them to do whatever they want to do. So that's just really one of the big things for me. But yeah, all my big cousins and, you know, that I grow with, they treat me like I'm, you know, like I'm regular. And I think that's one of the blessings that's also kept me so humble in this game, you know, and also doing it for a long time. Because I know, you know, this business can, you know, can do some crazy things to you. So, you know, but it's been good, though. It's been good.
It's a good lesson. You know, now you're learning that now, because we always say kid actors, we know how many of those kind of fall apart.
Right.
And you seem very well adjusted. And I think part of it is having a family that treats you, let's say, celebrate your success, of course.
Right, yes, definitely.
But treats you like everybody else. I have a grandmother who, you know, my awards and trophies are just like everybody else's. My books, you celebrate someone else's, you know, certificate. But yes. I guess it's all kind of, the grandkids are all treated not just like James is a star and the rest of you guys are, you know, you guys are like losers. So it's completely across the board. Loves us all. I think that it's helped me and may just kind of stay. Well, I have grandkids. My grandkids don't give two craps about what I do. Is Papa Jamie coming to visit us for Christmas? That's all they care about.
Exactly.
I don't care on TV. Beautiful. You do radio. They don't know what any of that means. They don't really care. So and so said hi to you on TV. I don't know what that means. Is he a present for me?
What's up?
No, right. They don't care. They don't care. But it does keep you humble.
Yeah, man. They appreciate it. But I think, you know, just the love that they have for me and all the support that they have for me as well. It just helps me, you know, go and fuels me at the end of the day as well. So yeah, definitely a great support system.
Speaking of me, that's the leads. You're like helping me on the show.
Oh, hey,
leads into the music.
The
music. And I was telling him off camera, you guys, maybe you guys know I have my own song. I have two songs out right now, and I'm working with producers on my first album together. And I call it my conscious dance music.
Okay.
And I will tag you one of my songs on Twitter, so you can listen to it. And I'm learning the whole business of writing songs, recording. It's been a lot of fun.
Right.
It's been hard work. A lot of fun. MKTO is a group. It's a duo, which actually has your initials, you and with your partner, Tony Aller, Oller?
Tony Aller.
Tony Aller.
What up, Tony?
And you guys met a Nickelodeon show called Gigantic?
Yeah, it was a Nickelodeon show on Teen Nick called Gigantic. We did one season. We played best friends, became best friends while shooting. Just put music up on YouTube, and, you know, our fans were just, you know, going crazy, like, oh, loving it. And ended up meeting some producers. You never know, you know, who will see your stuff.
No,
so, you
never know.
You know, it's just the power of social media these days. We met our producers, ended up, you know, in, like, a label bid, you know, with different labels, ended up getting signed to Columbia Records. And, you know, man, working on an album going platinum with a single called Classic, and, you know, just beautiful things were happening, man. A dream for both of us, and, you know, something we'll always remember.
What is it about him that made you guys friends? You think?
I mean, you know, we connected, I mean, just so much. We're two young guys, you know, we're having a good time, you know, we're like young bachelors. We're both living in North Hollywood, you know, the Hollywood area, and we both had a love for music, you know, and we both wanted to tell the story. And, you know, the fact that, you know, a big song that inspired us was B.O.B. Airplanes, you know, I forgot the singer on the song, but
Haley Williams.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Shout out Haley Williams. But just the mesh of that and just the way we would do songs, that would be the way we did songs together. And that's just how that that spiraled. And I mean,
now you said that, I've been playing your music all last couple of days. Now that makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you guys don't know that was from. It was Hayley Williams is from the group Paramore, which is a rock band. Right, but she sing the hooks to the rap. Kind of, where it was like, so it was
she
kind
did
of,
a feature. She did a feature on B.O.B. song. Yeah. And, you know, that just, it worked. It was a great combination. Yeah. And, you know, so we just thought, why not put a feature, you know, with just a rap and the pop and the singing all in one group?
What was Gigantic? Was that a musical show or no? Was that just a pure.
It was just a show. He sung a little bit. It was like, the families living in Hollywood, you know, spoof type thing. And just the kids. And, you know, Tony's like a musician. I'm an actor, you know.
Oh, okay.
A director. Yeah. You know, growing up and just having a good time. So.
That was true, because, you know, Nickelodeon and Disney.
Right.
If you could do all three things, sing, dance, sell fragrance, all at the same time, it works, right?
That was beautiful. I mean, we were also trying to get our song, you know, in the show. You know, they're also working with us, but, you know, and we only did one season, so that came to an end. But, you know, we just started the bigger picture. That's what brought Tony and I together to be able to do some great things, and I think that was awesome.
What is one thing he brings to the table that you don't? Musically.
He's from Texas, I'm from Houston. I think it's just another way of thinking, you know, and I think when you can get two creative people that come from two different places and, you know, you can just get some great stuff and you can bounce off of each other. So I think that was the most important thing. And, you know, he's one hell of a singer. He sings from his soul. That's my guy right there. You know, I learned so much from him. So I think it was just beautiful to be able to have those things in a group and be so diverse. You know, we love all type of music, you know, we'd be sharing music. I come from a rap hip hop background. He loves his country and his pop, and you know, so we'd be sharing music with each other and growing with each other, because we want to create and we just love to work with people that create. So that's my guy, man.
And you guys are about the same age and everything. So,
So he's like a year older than me, but
Okay, folks. I've heard the name, of course, and I heard of them, but I didn't really know much. And when I started looking at some of their online presence, I think I had to have a drink.
Yeah.
On YouTube. 631,000 followers, subscribers.
Man. That's a lot.
Your videos, literally between 1 and 5 million views per video.
That's love, man.
Hello, that's love. That's like, it's more than love.
Shout out the Army.
I was like, excuse me. Okay, so there are two songs I can't stop playing.
Uh-huh.
We're going to play the first one, Superstitious.
Okay. Look up there.
You're right, he has a great voice. So you look at this, what do you see when you look at this?
We're having a good time.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Trying to get some girls. It's funny, we're in the Uber.
Yeah, this whole video is like, you have all kinds of things happening throughout the whole video.
Yeah. Adding the text in there.
Yes.
Hey, come on.
I seriously have it in my iPod right now. I can't stop playing it.
Work out to it, you know.
It's just the music's good. Everything's good.
It's a good vibe, man.
It's very good. This was a year ago, you guys. This came out.
Yeah.
But it's so timely. Like, you totally.
I appreciate
it. So I just want to show that. You have to watch the rest of the video.
Yeah.
And then
the next video,
you guys, has 84 million views.
Oh, man.
Literally, like, my tongue was on the ground, my jaw was on the ground. I mean, I was like, so here we go, classic.
Hey.
2013.
Come on. Let's go. Ooh, girl, you're shining like a Fifth
Avenue diamond. So good. And they don't make you like they used to. You're never going out of style. You're saying me, who could blame me when I just want to make you smile? I want to do you like Michael. I want to kiss you like Prince. That's so funny. I love that. For you like this. You're over my head. Listen, everybody just named his dad. How sad is that now? There's a new name. It's like, dang.
Baby, you're so classic.
So you guys want to show this? This is, I mean, these songs are really good.
Yeah, man. It
actually inspires me, like, pulled together. It's like, geez.
I just want to say shout out to all the people that, you know, made that happen, all the views, and just all the people that
supported us. One more time. 84 million views of this video. Every single 84 million of you people, and now I'm one of them, saw this video. Cheese and crackers. That is like, that is.
Yeah,
not everybody gets that.
Yeah, we would feel the love at the shows, and it was just a great experience, man, to be able to perform with Taylor Swift and to be able to do that song with her while having us perform in front of 60,000 people at the Gillette Stadium. I mean, it was just so great, man, just watching the way music travels and traveling all over the world, meeting so many great people. So definitely trying to get into music.
And they're on Twitter, and people are still posting things on you.
Yeah,
talking
yeah,
to you
go follow us. We are MKTO.
Okay, is there a place that you perform that just was like, was poignant for you? It was kind of like, I've made it, kind of. Was there a place, a homecoming or so, or just a place that you went to, or that you like, we're in front, what was it, 6,000 people? You're like, oh my God, in front of all these people.
I think that's a moment I never forget, you know, and definitely Taylor Swift being who she is and being a fan of the song and wanting to bring us out. And, you know, almost we missed the show that we were originally supposed to do and the way she made sure that she had to make it happen and bring us on the show. I mean, I think that show I always remember, man. That's just a beautiful show. But also performing in front of my hometowns and headlining shows. And, you know, when it's great, man. That's just, you know, I felt it. Definitely.
Because we know, I mean, it's 8 million people trying to be singers.
Right, definitely.
And or rappers and or recording artists. Right. Like I said, I'm trying it too. Like, why not?
Right.
But like everybody's, but you guys actually broke through.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to that. Like you have, like I said, I was joking a little earlier, but you do. You have it. You guys have it. Yeah, and these songs are really well produced and well done.
Thank you, man. We had a great team.
So you really get that when you got through? You're like, we got through. It's like, it's not easy, especially when you're an actor.
Right.
Trying to cross over to something else.
You know, and Tony and I, that's kind of why we both stepped away from acting a little bit so strong, because we really felt that we had to, you know, put the grind in and get the respect to be artists, you know, and you know, because you say a lot of people, some actors, you know, dibble and dabble in the music and vice versa, but you know, it's something we really loved, and we really wanted to show people that we were really serious about this craft, and I think we did that, you know, and I think we proved it to ourselves, and just the fan base we built so organically, and how big it's grown, and you know, it really opened our eyes, and you know, we're ready to do it again. So
I'm gonna ask you, what the F's going on? What's going on with MK? What's going on? Like, hello? Like, I'm waiting for some new music, and I'm like, what's going on?
We're trying to figure it out, man. Okay. You know, we're in between, you know, some things right now, but we're definitely going to have it figured out soon, because it's on our minds. We got to get some music out to you guys. We got to get back on these
MKTO stages, fans, so. You heard it here.
Yeah, we're figuring it out.
Just pointing all the cameras. You heard it, because I'm waiting, too. Now I'm waiting, too. I'm going to be tweeting you every once in a while. I'm like, okay, hey, come on, Malcolm.
Yeah, just check in.
give me a thing, because he's on Twitter. They're on Twitter. Everybody's on Twitter.
Yeah, so we are MKTO. The Real Malcolm. Go ahead.
And they have a website and everything. They have a website and all stuff on there, too. Yeah. But, no, I mean, no, seriously, music's really good. I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed by the numbers, but I'm actually more impressed just by the music and how you guys really came together to, because I know it's not easy.
It's not. It was a grind. Definitely a grind.
Now, you have a movie called Detroit that's coming out August 4th, and we're going to show the trailer for that first. Woo! And then let's talk about it.
Here in Detroit, a city of war. On the city's west side, a 150-block area is off-limits to everybody. U.S. Army paratroopers, National Guardsmen, state and local police are continuing the fight against a handful of snipers.
Hello. Oh, everything is fine. No trouble here. I'll sleep when they stop riding.
Hey, fellas. I'm going to that grocery store across the street. I come bearing gifts.
Thank you. You got any sugar?
Don't push it, man.
It's a war zone out there. They're destroying the city.
Whoa, hey, y'all seeing this?
Hey, look, we're not too far from the Algiers. Let's just go there till all this blows over.
When you see, I only knew part of the story like myself in real life, and now this is going to be really interesting to see.
It's like this. Hey, boy. What you doing on my street?
Get that gun off me.
Or what?
Hit the dog!
You shoot it.
Oh, man.
It just starts racing.
Army taking fire.
Trash fire. Near the Algiers Motel.
Hey, y'all, there's a bunch of police outside right now.
Now, let's not be stupid in this situation.
You need to tell me where the gun is.
Everybody's in this movie. Everybody's in this movie.
Tell me exactly what is going on here.
I need you to survive the night.
Okay, so it's gonna be good.
You think we're bluffing? We don't bluff.
That's so good. That's right, kids. So that's coming out August 4th. I know, it's August so good. August 4th. May the 4th be with you. Okay, so it's funny. Okay, so, you know, for me, I'm old enough to remember some of those things.
You said you knew about part of the story.
Yes, I did. So it's funny. There was a lot of different riots that happened in the 60s, the Watts riots, and there's different places in Chicago, different places. But I knew about the Algiers a little bit.
Okay.
That was a safe space.
All right, okay.
Pray for people. I remember that was a safe space, but then obviously it became something else.
Right.
How did this project come to you first? How did you get involved? Because you weren't really acting that much.
That's when I just talk about fate and, you know, following my gut, you know, even, you know, turning away some projects. And this just came by, you know, just through my managers. And luckily I had callbacks and got to go to the testing. And I remember the testing was at a house in Malibu. And I remember just the audition process and just shooting this movie was unlike no other. I mean, it was called the Untitled Catherine Bigelow Project, you know, and I didn't have the actual side from the script, you know, like it was from different movies. I just knew it was going to be a timepiece. And, but, you know, hearing Catherine Bigelow, that's what, you know, I was like, okay, you know, that's enough for me to, you know, put myself in this and want
first
to
do female it. Directress
first
who
female
won,
director
who won the Academy Award.
Won an Oscar, you know, great. And shout out Catherine Bigelow. So just getting that, and then you know, so that's kind of how the audition came about, just a regular audition. And then you know, still not having the script until I get to the destination where we're shooting, and you know, still not having the whole script, bits and pieces, getting it the day of sometimes. And you know, just the way she shoots, man, is just so amazing. Just looking at the trailer, you're like wrapped in.
I'm already in.
It's like she shoots like a documentary style.
Yes.
Like sometimes you don't even know where the camera's gonna be. She likes real and fresh reactions. She doesn't like to rehearse. There's no marks on the floor. We don't know where to stand. She wants us to just go through it as many times as possible and let the camera find us. And I think that's just one of the great things, and keeping it organic and fresh. And you know, I really love this experience.
Did you stick close to the script? Was there any ad-libbing in there?
There was a lot of improvising. Like even the scene in the room where we're chilling, it was a lot of improvising. I mean, she trusted you as an actor. She gave you the freedom to portray these characters, which I think was really important. And you know, helping us get into the vibe. I mean, we felt like we were in the 60s. She had the music playing, and you know, we would go and try to do our homework and just listen to all Motown music.
Yes.
And you know, just trying to stay in the vibe, man. Yeah. And you know, it was really, sometimes it was hard to do, because we're playing a timepiece where it's a lot of racism going on. And you know, being a millennial, you know, that's something I haven't really had to deal with to a certain level of degree, you know what I'm saying?
What did it teach you
about that? Yeah, it just opened my eyes, man, to know that this happened 50 years ago. And you know, a lot has changed, but we still have a lot more to do, because we're looking at our iPhones, and this is, you know, we're still seeing, you know, police brutality and just a different protocol, which I think needs to be fixed. So I think this would just bring conversation, and to bring a story like this to the light, you know, I think the people are ready for this. And it's a part of American history, so you know, it needs to be told. So
I'm glad you said that. It's a part of American history.
It's a part of American history.
People, I mean, we're on Black Hollywood Live. We're on
Black
Hollywood,
but
everyone
it's culture,
should go.
But this is American history.
Yes.
You know, this is, like you said, rebellions were happening all over the place, and you know, people just wanted to be heard. There was a message that needed to get across. You know, there was so much stress, and you know, this was like the last straw. You know, and just people were at their breaking points. And you know, and that's just, you know, I've learned so much, and just how I look at people. And I remember coming off this movie, I mean, like I said, it just put some of us, you know, it brought us all closer together a cast.
Well,
you know, it's just so much heavy material, and you know, having this hate in my heart that's not there, but I have to bring it there for this character. You know, it can kind of wear and tear on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
how'd you guys relax after? Because you had a long day of just some heavy scenes.
And I mean, shooting like that hallway scene like 10 days straight. straight. You know what I'm saying? God. Like, are we not doing it right? You know, but it's just Catherine. she knows what she wants. And, you know, it's small details that she knows what she sees. She goes and looks at the dailies. She knows what she needs to come back and get. So, I mean, it just kept us in the moment. But, you know, we would... You know, after we cut and leave set, we would have to go get a drink and relax, you know, share some smiles and, you know, just talk about what was going on. And that really just opened our eyes to do a little bit more history and figure out to just really portray these characters as the best way we could. You know, we had Julie, the real person there on set.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, just learning from her and seeing how strong she is and wanting to do this for her because in the city of Detroit, I think it's going to be really special.
Okay, so you play Michael Clark. Give them a synopsis of what the movie's about.
The movie's about, it's about what happened to a group of young people in the civil unrest, you know, in Detroit, 67. At the Algiers Motel. So it's a crazy incident. And, you know, they're not sure if they're going to make it home, you know, basically. So I play a character named Michael Clark. You know, he's at the place of the Algiers Motel. Like you said, it's a place to hang out, a place to get away, you know, at a time where the city is, you know, kind of going crazy. And to get a clear mind and just hang out with some good friends and happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. And it's really unfortunate. And, you know, this is just... you know, a glimpse of, you know, what actually, you know, happened in that motel. And, I still think about it to this day. But it's a story that I'm glad to be a part of. And I know it's going to be here for a long time, you know, because it's a timepiece and it's something that's going to touch every generation. You know, I think it's going to be beautiful and spark a great conversation.
Was Michael Clark a real person, too?
He was a real person.
So I didn't
get to meet my character. And Kathryn Bigelow, she didn't want us to do too much research, you know, on our characters. But... you know, me being a person I am and wanting to know about my character, I did a little research anyway. But there wasn't too much. So, you know, that's why I tried to tap into the 60s and draw from a real place and, you know, just some real places. But
it's funny how far we've come in some ways. In some ways, we haven't.
Right.
And I just think for myself, I was a child of the 70s, came of age in the 80s, you know, the night when I was adult in the 90s. And it's funny how back then, it was just so, being a black man was so different.
It was
different.
So different.
There's so many things that we, to this day, still going on. But, like, there are things you really couldn't do back then. Yeah. And there were situations we can't even imagine today.
Right, right. And I know people, you know, some people that might, well, I don't want to give it away, but, no, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, don't get away. But just saying in general, as black people, we are going through stuff. But back then, it was way different.
And like you said, we've came a long way. And we have to, you know, acknowledge that. But, you know, and also to keep growing and to get better, you know, we have to bring situations like this, you know, to the light, you know, so we can keep moving forward, so...
How is it to? Because I did a little piece of acting this summer.
Okay.
I'm gonna be in a Christmas movie with Vivica Fox.
Y'all get ready for that.
So oh God, I'm like, I'm really scared to see how I look at it. But I play a character named James. That's really rough. But actually, I play this guy who's a really bad host. I'm actually mean to admit to the main character. So they asked me to do this a day before.
Okay.
So I got my sides.
Right.
Which are only like 3 pages.
Stop.
And I was like, oh my God, I gotta learn all this.
Yeah.
And then when we got there was also ad-libbing and improv. So what I want to ask you is, because for my case, I had to know the script, I guess, inside and out, and able to do ad-libbing and improv. So how's it for you? I mean, how's it for you as an actor? Is it harder to, like, if you're like, okay, let's try it this way. Like, these things, well, do this take, just improv it. This take, now go back to the script. Like, how do you as an actor, I mean, obviously you've done it way longer than I have. Like, how did you do that?
I mean,
and stay true to the character.
Yeah, it's just about, just knowing the character, first of all, and just knowing how they would react. So once you have, you know, you've made a choice for your characteristics to portray a character, you know, you just tap into those modes. So if he says go off book for a little bit, I mean, you just stay true to the character, but you know, you still know what the scene context is about a little bit.
Okay.
So you just have the freedom to play, or you can just go back to the script. But you know, sometimes I love that's when an actor gets to play a little bit, you know, so I love that. I love having a curveball thrown at me sometimes, you know, like go off book or go to the script. So I mean, I love it. I enjoy it. And I think that was a beautiful thing in this show.
The acting goes to you guys.
With Kathryn Bigelow, she gave us that freedom to do improv and stay true to the script. And you know, like, you'll see, like, Will Poulter, he was ad-libbing a lot of that stuff.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, you know, as we all were. So she was just letting us play. And like I said, she gave us that freedom to actually act. So that was one of the best experiences, you know, being an actor and actually, you know, feeling true to my art form. You know, it was great.
Wow. So that's Detroit, you guys. That's August 4th. support him. He's in this movie and support history. I asked my guests, we're at that time, which I can't believe I could talk to you forever.
This is flying. It's just,
it just goes by so fast. It just goes by fast. I don't know what's going on. You have to come back again. So I asked my guests the same two questions. I never tell them in person. You guys know at home, I never prep them in person. So my first question is, I believe in language. And you're a songwriter and writer and singer and rapper and all stuff. So you understand words. What word do you think we should not say anymore in the English language?
We should not say anymore in the English language.
I know. It's like... So yeah, I didn't prep you. I didn't prep
you.
That's
a big one. I'm gonna go with hate. You could take hate out.
Okay.
Just to spread more love, just positive vibes all around. You know, that's what I'm about. So
I like that. That's cool. What word do you think we should say more of in the English language?
What should we say more of in the English language? We should say There's a lot. but you know, I don't want to be cliche, but you know, I think we should use more love, man. We should spread more love and just more knowledge, you know, and more conversation and just coming together. So I'm gonna have to just go with love, you know, because once you start with love, I think that opens everything up.
Here's the thing, love is underrated, I think, in many ways. The word itself, because now it's said so just like thrown around. Anyway.
Right.
And I had a guest come on here once who her word was lovely. It was really interesting. It's just like, my time with you was lovely, or this was lovely, or you're lovely. Like, we don't say the word love. It's like, we don't really...
That she would say more of would be lovely.
Yeah, lovely. So okay. It's of love. So it's like that word. To me, it's not cliche in a way, because it's kind of like we don't say it enough sometimes. We're so busy being negative about what we don't like and saying hate. People say hate all the time. Hate this. I hate you. I hate it.
Quick.
Love to me is a word that we should say more of, just in our everyday lives.
Definitely.
So, in all situations. Like, I love this, or I love that, or I love you. We should say
it. Great questions. Love those questions.
Thank you. That's one of my things I like to... I think language can propel us forward, and language can stop us. And I always feel like, you know, words can not necessarily hurt you sometimes, they can, but words can also bring you further along.
Definitely. I mean, because when we speak into the universe, I mean, I read the law of attraction. I'm kind of big on that. So, I don't like to speak of negative things. I don't like to, bring that negative energy around me. So, I think words can be very important in how you use them. So that's why, I say definitely spread love, man. You know, that's why I'm big on that.
I agree. Because I always say this, what I do does affect you and vice versa, whether we know each other or not.
Right. Right.
I totally believe that. So somebody in Indiana has something going on right now. No, it's going to affect me on some level. We don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
But it does. We all have a ripple effect for everything. So I totally agree with that whole thing, too. I do completely agree with that. I mean, you are a lovely person.
Thank you, man. You are, too, man.
Now, what else would you like to do? I say, speaking of speaking things in existence, would you like to do, ever do stage?
You know, and I was just talking to a friend, a fellow actor about that. And there was a time I was going to do a play, but I ended up booking a movie. So I was like, I definitely want to do stage. I want to do some stage work. Like I said, I want to get into directing.
Yeah, directing.
You know, and I've been writing a little bit. There's the things that's going to be flourishing pretty soon.
You can make your own stuff now. Nowadays, people are creating their own content and helping their own their destiny.
And I'm watching, Issa Rae. I had the chance to be able to do a little guest star on Insecure.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So that was fun. I mean, just to be able to watch her and everything, where she came from, and watch her story. I mean, it's beautiful, man. So I'm definitely ready to.
So I look at her.
There's so many creepers, but I just
She's the bomb. She's always in South LA. Right. She was in England recently. Saw her. I was like, I guess she's filming in England. Her and Donald Glover with Atlanta. They're doing some great stuff.
Yeah.
They're creating their own content and they're doing great stuff. Even Aziz Ansari, his show is so good.
Right.
They're really creating. I mean, like, you can do it too.
It's on the way. Get ready, baby. Get ready. Mm-hmm. It's just about having the right platform and doing it right. So, I'm just being able to have the blessing to be able to watch these people and use it to my advantage. So, I'm getting ready.
Well, thank you very much. Where can they find you on social media and stuff?
Twitter and Instagram is @TheRealMalcolm. Follow up. And Snapchat is @TheRealMalcolm with the extra M on there. And then, so come holler at me.
I want to give a special just condolences to the family of Nelson Ellis, who died yesterday.
Yes,
totally shocked. 39 years old.
Yeah.
Heart failure. What he did on True Blood as Lafayette was brave.
Right.
It was amazing. He's also done other things. He's also directed. He's done a lot of stuff. And so he has some stuff projects coming out still.
Yeah, I had a pleasure to be able to work with him last year, actually. And, you know, he was just such a great guy. And
that's what I heard.
And just such a great guy. And I learned so much from him. And, you know, this is so unfortunate.
I know, he's so young. But just like he's a brave actor. And he was somebody that I admired very much. So I want to give a shout out to his family and friends who knew him personally. And you knew him, too. And just the condolences to that. Because he's part of Black Hollywood. So that's what he said there. Follow us on our Facebook page, Breaking Into. You can follow me at James Lott Jr. And I will see you next time with another new guest.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Like I said,
the views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.